Good morning. Good morning. How are you? Good, good, good. Hi, Sherry. Good morning. How are you? Good, man. Can I talk to you for a sec, Sherry?
Sure.
Good to see you. You're sitting right here in the front.
Thank you.
Yes. The whole atmosphere changes. There's healing and deliverance in this place. For he is here. But we glorify him and we worship him and we reverence him. Amen, church. Thank you. God, with everything that is in us, we lift you up this morning. Hallelujah, we bless you. We worship you. We give you honor. We give you reverence. We give you glory, for you alone are worthy. Hallelujah. Every heart that is broken.
How many of you know, family, the Word of God says, great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. I said, how many know that our God is greatly to be praised? Can somebody give a shout? Can somebody say amen? Can someone clap your hands? Lord, you are great. You are greatly to be praised. The Word of God says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Do you have breath today? I said, do you have breath today? Say, that means me. Say, it's talking to me. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. For He is great, and He is greatly to be praised. Church, I want us to lift our voice. I want us to lift our voices like one voice today. I want us to lift our hands, and I want us to clap. I want us to sing. All the earth will shout your praise. My heart will sing. Come on, let's sing it together. All the earth will shout your praise.
Hearts will be ready.
Bones will sing. Great.
He's the awesome one. Lord, we worship you. We
thank you for your presence here with us today. We thank you, Lord, that you are in our midst today. You are in this place today, Lord. Your angels are all about us today. Lord, we welcome you. We thank you for your Spirit. Holy Spirit, we honor you. We welcome you. Holy Spirit, have your way here today. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts today, that you would stir us up today by your word. I pray, Lord, that we would be changed by your glory, by your anointing this morning, in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. For the heavens declare my majesty, says the Lord. Everything you see with this naked eye, and even that which is way beyond your natural eye, says the Lord, I created, I have designed it. But the greatest creation that I have made and my greatest masterpiece is you, says the Lord. My greatest masterpiece and my greatest joy is you, says the Lord. And when you lift your voice and when you open your mouth and you sing me praise, it brings me greater joy than seeing the entire universe. For it is you that I made for fellowship, says the Lord. It is you that I laid down my son's life for. It is you that I gave everything I have, the very best that I have, the very closest to me, the very essence of my life, I gave it for you, says the Lord. For you are my prized possession. You are everything I longed for. You are everything I wished for. You are everything I need, says the Lord. You are the one who is created to be in fellowship with me. And today, as you worship and as you lift your voice to me, it brings us into a communion like nothing else in this universe. There is a relationship that I have created with you, and I'm wooing you by my Spirit to come into my presence and bask in my presence, says the Lord. For in my presence there is fullness of joy. At my right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Lay down the burdens that consume you day to day. Lay down the hardship, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Lay it down, says the Lord. Lay it down in my presence and take up everything that I have for you. For I have an inheritance that is for my children. I have an inheritance that I have written out in a will to you. And it is yours if you will take it. It is yours if you will just come to me, says the Lord. As you come to me, so the lines of that will become reality in your life. As you lean upon me, so I'm able to do what you cannot do in your own strength. As you lean upon me, so that inheritance becomes yours, not just when you die. For when you die, you will inherit the mansions of heaven, says the Lord. For you are my child. But my inheritance starts now. My inheritance starts now. The moment you gave your heart to me and you were recreated, your inheritance began. So step in and take everything that I have for you. I am your Father. I am your God. I am the one who loves you and created you for victory, created you to live over and above, to created you to reign as kings and priests in this life, not only in the life to come, but in this life. So rise up, says the Lord. Rise up and take everything that I have for you. If you see it written in my will, it's yours. If you see it written in my will, don't cower and be so-called humble because you don't want to expect too much, but step up and take everything that I have for you. For the level of your faith is what will get you whatever it is that I need. If you have small faith, you'll only experience a part of that inheritance in this life. But if you increase your faith, and if you just take the blinkers off your eyes and you stop looking through the veil of this world, and you stop looking through the veil of humanity, and you start looking as a child of God, you will see that everything I have for you begins now, says the Lord. So when you read it, accept it, claim it, take it, says the Lord. For I want you to walk in the victories that I have for you. I want my inheritance to be a reality, so that when people look upon you, they will say, that is a masterpiece. your God, that it declares that you are not, you may be in this world, but you are not of this world. You are from beyond, and no longer will you walk in the steps of a man, but you walk in the steps of your Father. For I am with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. My Holy Spirit is beside you to strengthen you, to advise you, to lead you, to guide you, to whisper in your ear words that he hears from heaven. And as long as you're listening to the words that you hear, he hears from heaven, you will not fail. You will walk in success. You'll walk in success in business. You'll walk in success in your family. You'll walk in success in your personal life. And you'll become everything that I designed you to be. Don't wait until you're on your deathbed, says the Lord. Wait, take it now. Take it now. Take it now. Whatever it is I have for you, take it now, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, thank you. Come on, thank you. Worship the Lord.
My son is preaching in Miami this morning, and I just love that thought, you know. There's a mother for you. But I like that too. But I'm so glad you're here. We come with an expectancy when we come to church, because it's not to meet with man. We love one another and we enjoy the fellowship, but we truly come to hear from God something that he speaks to us today. Amen. And we want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time. We do love having visitors in our church, don't we?
Yes.
And if you are here for the first time, we ask if you wouldn't mind just raising your hand where you are. We'd like to give you a gift bag. Is anyone here? God bless you. Welcome. God bless you. So glad you're here. Just keep your hand up till an usher gets to you. Thank you. Such nice young men as our ushers. Thank you for doing that. And did you receive a gift bag? You did. In there's a couple of things. One is a teaching CD from Pastor Steve. We put it in, hoping it'll be an encouraging blessing to you. He preaches a very faithful message, so we hope that encourages you. And then also there's a white card in that bag. You just take a moment and fill it out. At the end of the service, we pass an offering bag by, and you can just drop it in and let us know your details so we can give you a call and find out how you enjoyed the service. Thank you very much.
Great. Good. Well, good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you today.
Good to see you.
Glad you're here. I know we have a lot of folks not here this morning. I guess it's December time and they're busy or they're out of town, but we're glad you're here today.
Yes.
Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you're here today. We're going to have a great, great service this morning. Are you ready for God's word today?
Yes.
Anybody?
Yes.
We also want to welcome those who are watching us online. You can watch the service at cfcjupiter.org. And those who are watching on Facebook, we had a lot of people last week, I think. I didn't dare, you told me 700 or something, but a lot of people that hundreds of people that clicked on. So we're glad about that. Praise God. Did anyone bring their Bible to church today?
Yes.
Hold it up and wave it at me, because that's what I'm going to be speaking to you from today, that book. It's good to bring it with you, isn't that right? Let's just pray before we get into God's word this morning. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for another opportunity that we can gather together with the family of God, the body of Christ, your church. We can gather, Lord, in your name, with your presence, your spirit, to hear your word. And Lord, we give you all the praise for everything said and done. Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that every heart receives your word today. I thank you for causing our faith to rise up. I thank you for stirring our heart, Lord, stirring us up this morning, giving us a love for the lost, giving us a love for souls this morning. In the name of Jesus, Lord, thank you for helping me to speak your word today in Jesus' name. Amen. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Now, this morning, the month of December is our heart for the house. December is our month of heart for the house. And the Bible says in John 2 verse 17, talking about Jesus, it said, passion for your house will consume me. Jesus was very passionate about the house of God. And in fact, I was reading, this is just whoever's doing my notes, this is not in the notes, so just hang on, I'm gonna catch up. But the scripture that I was reading is in Luke chapter 4 and verse number 16. And I want to read it to you, talking about how passionate Jesus was about the house of God. This is what it says. It says, so he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. Now, the New King James Bible says, as his custom was, he went to the synagogue. And the New Living Translation says it like this. It says, as he always did, he went to the synagogue. And the New Living Translation says he went as usual. And the Message Bible says, as he always did on the Sabbath. Do you know that Jesus went to church every Sunday? Well, actually, it wasn't Sunday. It was the Sabbath day. So I guess it would have been Saturday, right? Now we go to church on Sunday. Jesus was a church goer. Jesus was passionate about the house of God. I mean, think about that. The creator of the universe, the one who spoke this world into existence, comes to the earth to redeem us, and every Sunday he's in church. Or every Saturday he's in church. That was his custom. How many of you believe it's good that we should follow his example, and we also, on a Sunday, always we should be in church?
Amen.
Right? Let me tell you, family, the church is the only institution that Jesus is building. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not stand against it. It's the only thing that's going to last for all eternity.
Right.
You know, 100 years from now, there may not be, there probably won't be an apple. I don't mean the actual apple from a tree. I mean the corporation. Is anyone familiar with the Apple Corporation? I'm sure you do. You probably spent a lot of money and supported them. But 100 years from now, there probably won't be an Apple Corporation. But I want to tell you that the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ has been around for the last 2,000 years, and it's going to endure throughout all eternity. And I don't know about you, but I want to dedicate my life to building something that is going to last forever. I want to be involved in what God is building. How about you? I want to dedicate my life to that which counts and lasts throughout eternity. And let me tell you, the best thing that you can invest your time in is in what God is building, is in what is important to Him. When you have a heart for God's house, you'll be committed to help build God's house. Amen. And so this morning, what I want to speak to you about, my message is called The Mission. The Mission. Say the mission. Say we have a mission. John chapter 17, verse number 18, reading from the Message Bible. Jesus said, in the same way that you gave me a mission in the world, I give them a mission in the world. Jesus said, Father, the same way you gave me a mission in this world, I came to this world with a mission, I'm giving them. Who's them? You and me. Say, that means me. Jesus was sent to this world with a mission. What was his mission? He told us in Luke 19, verse 10. He said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Jesus came for the lost. He came for you and me. Jesus came for one reason, to lay his life down, to take our sin, to pay the price that we could be forgiven, that we could be redeemed. He came to seek and save the lost. He said in Matthew 16, 18, I will build my church and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Do you know that just like Jesus came to this world with a mission, we have a mission in this world. Say, I have a mission. What is the mission that God has given you? Turn over and look, Matthew 28, verse 19. Here's the mission. Jesus said, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands that I have given you. So the mission Jesus has given to us, the mission that Jesus has given to you, is to reach out and to bring people to the Lord. This mission, every believer has a mission to go after the lost, to seek after the lost, to make disciples, to reach others.
Amen.
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 Say this, Jesus was on a mission to seek and save the lost. Say, I'm also on a mission from God. Say, I have been sent to seek and save those who are lost. This is the will of God for His church. This is the will of God for every church. This is the will of God for every believer. It's very simple. To lead others to Christ and teach them the things you have learned. Teach them the Word of God that you have learned. Our mission is very simple in this church. We want to reach as many people as we can in this area, in this city, in this state, in this nation, and around this world. We want to reach as many people as we can, and we want to teach them the Word of God. That's it. This is the reason that there are churches. Jesus said it's not enough just to win souls. They need to be in a local church, in a sheepfold, and be discipled, and be taught the Word of God. Our purpose is to win people to Christ and teach them God's Word.
Yeah.
That's the purpose that God has set for our church. And you know what? We must all be united in this purpose.
Yeah.
1 Corinthians 1 verse 10 says, I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, this isn't just me saying this. I'm saying this by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with each other. Let there be no divisions in the church. Rather be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. No division, united in the purpose of what? Seeking and saving the lost, making disciples, teaching them the Word of God. That's what we are to be united in. Amen. A lot of people have their own ideas about what the church should be doing. And a lot of people come and give me many ideas of what they think we should be doing. Some people think our priority should be focusing on social issues, feeding the poor, helping single moms, rescuing people from sex trafficking. Those are all good things. Those are all important things. I support all of those things. But let me tell you, even if you feed everybody, and even if you destroy the sex trafficking industry, if they die and go to hell, what good is it? They all got a full belly, but they die and go to hell, then really what good is it? Our most important purpose is bringing eternal life to people, is leading them to Christ, and teaching them God's word. In Mark chapter 16 and verse number 14, Mark said it this way. Later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and their hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. So after Jesus rose up from the dead and he appeared to a number of people, and they went back and they said, "We've seen the Lord," the disciples didn't believe it. His disciples didn't believe it. And so Jesus, after he rose from the dead, he appears to them and he rebukes them for their unbelief, because they wouldn't believe. And then he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover." Amen. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and they preached everywhere. Say everywhere.
Everywhere.
Say they preached everywhere.
Everywhere.
And the Lord was working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Now, verse 14 says, Jesus rebuked them for their hardness of heart, their unbelief. And yet, you know what's amazing to me? He commanded the same people. The same people that he rebuked because they didn't believe when they were told Jesus is alive. The same people, he told them, go take the gospel into all the world. I mean, you would have think, or you would have thought, I should say. You would have thunk. You would have thought that Jesus would have said, "Well, listen, you disqualified yourself because of your unbelief. You wouldn't believe that I was risen. I'm not going to let you go preach the gospel in all the world." Do you know God will use imperfect people to do this job? Everybody say, "I qualify."
I qualify.
I qualify.
I qualify.
Because some people wait until they're perfect. Well, I can't speak to the Lord. I can't witness for the Lord. I can't invite someone to church with me. Listen, God wants to use you to speak for him. You are his representative in this world. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse number 17, the word of God says, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And all this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. Say, God has given me the job of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. Say, I am an ambassador for Jesus. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ. Say, I speak for Christ. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. Now you are an ambassador for Jesus. Every believer, every one of you is an ambassador for the Lord. What is an ambassador? I looked up the word ambassador. I Googled it. And this is what an ambassador is. It says an ambassador is a diplomat sent by a monarch or a country as its official representative on a mission to a foreign country. Go back. Let me say that. And let me read that one more time. An ambassador is a diplomat sent by a monarch or a country as its official representative on a mission to a foreign country. How many of you know you've been sent as a representative on a mission in a foreign country?
Amen.
This world is not your home. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2 in verse number 11, friends, this world is not your home. So don't make yourselves cozy in it. Don't indulge your ego at the expense of your soul. Live an exemplary life among the natives so that your actions will refute their prejudices. Then they will be won to God's side and be there to join in the celebration when he arrives. We are citizens of heaven, where Jesus is the King. This world is not our permanent home. We're just passing through. We are in this world to be ambassadors for the Lord Jesus. You are an ambassador sent by God with a ministry of reconciliation. And reconciliation, it means helping people get right with God or bringing people back to God. It's an honor and a privilege that we all share. God is making His appeal to people through you. You need to see yourself as an ambassador for the Lord. Yeah. You represent Christ. It's never about you. It's about Jesus and the work that He has done. See, maybe you don't think you can speak for God. Maybe you don't feel like you don't have the confidence or you don't have the boldness. Do you know that Moses didn't think he could speak for God either? Do you know when God spoke to Moses from the burning bush and God told him, I'm sending you to Pharaoh? Do you know what Moses replied? In Exodus 3 verse 11, Moses said, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Lord, who am I? God said, I'll be with you. Moses said, but suppose they won't listen to me. Suppose they won't believe me. I'm not eloquent. I don't speak well. Lord, please send somebody else. Moses didn't think he could speak for God. Yet look at what God did through Moses. You know, a friend of mine, Carl Lenz, is the pastor of Hillsong, New York City. He just brought out a book called Own the Moment. And he tells the story how he used to be so shy to speak for God. He had such a great desire to speak for the Lord, but he was so shy. And when he was in college, somebody saw his Bible. And they asked him if he's a Christian. And he said, no, that's not my Bible. Because he was so embarrassed and shy. And he would get so mad with himself. And he tells how he was working at the Gucci store on Rodeo Drive in Los Angeles. He was the doorman. You know, when you go in the store, he opened the door. When you went out in the store, he opened the door. And he was saving up to go to Hillsong Bible College in Australia. And he needed $2,500. This is a number of years ago. He needed $2,500. And he was determined to speak for Jesus. You know, at the rate he was saving, he said it was going to take him 20 years to save the $2,500. But he really wanted to speak for the Lord. And he decided that he was going to say something to the next person who walked out that store. He was going to say something to them. And it happened to be an older man with a pretty young lady. And Carl opened the door and he just said to them, you're amazing. And God has got great things in your future. That's all he said. You're amazing. God's got great things in your future. And the man said, what did you say? And Carl repeated it. And the man said, who do you think you are to say that to me? He was kind of put out. And he left, and then he came back an hour later. And he said, what did you say to me? I haven't been able to stop thinking about what you said to me. Carl started to share his faith with the man. He started to share about the Lord. The man invited him to his office. The man handed him a check for $2,500 and said, I don't know what you plan on doing with your life, but I hope it's working with people. Do you know today, Carl Lenz speaks to thousands of people at 6 services at Hillsong Church, New York City. He speaks to celebrities. He speaks to professional athletes. But let me tell you, you never know how God can use you or where God will take you until you step out in faith and open your mouth and say something for Him. Can you say amen? Let me tell you, God is with you like He was with Moses. God is backing you up. God has anointed and equipped you with the power of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 1 verse 8, it says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses for me. The Message Bible says, you will be able to be my witnesses. I want you to know the Holy Spirit is with you to help you and to enable you to speak for the Lord. He'll give you the words to say. In fact, in Luke chapter 12, Jesus said this. He said, don't worry about what you'll say. Don't worry about how you'll say it. The right words will be there. The Holy Spirit will give you the right words when the time comes. Amen. Do you know it's amazing?
I have found when you open your mouth and you start speaking about the Lord helps you and guides you, and then you turn around and like, where did that come from? The Lord spoke out of you. You're God's ambassador. You're on a mission. That's why you're here. He wants to use you. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, let me tell you why you're here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of the earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and you'll end up in the garbage. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors of the world. God is not a secret to be kept. God is not a secret. Well, I'm a Christian. Nobody knows. I'm a secret. Yes, Pastor Steve, I'm on a mission, but I'm a secret agent. 007. And this is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this. As public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you on a hilltop, with your, it says, by opening your lives, let your light shine. You'll prompt others to open their lives to this generous Father of ours. The Bible says, let your light shine. God put us here to let our light shine. That means to draw people to Jesus. God's called you to be His ambassador. It's God's highest calling for your life. If the president were to call you and say, I have a job for you. I'm sending Air Force One to bring you to the White House. Because I want you to be the ambassador of the United States to Israel. How would you react? If you got that phone call, the president called you. I have a job. I'm sending them Air Force One. Well, let me tell you, the King of Kings, the Creator of the universe, has called you to be His ambassador. Will you do it? Will you accept the job? 2 Timothy 1 verse 8 says, don't be embarrassed to speak up for our master or for me, his prisoner. Take your share of suffering for the message along with the rest of us. We can only keep on going after all by the power of God who first saved us and then called us to this holy work. We had nothing to do with it. It was all His idea. A gift prepared for us in Jesus long before we knew anything about it. Let me tell you, God saved you and God called you to this work of being His ambassador. Say, God has called me. Say, God has saved me. And God has called me to the work of being His ambassador. Let me tell you, God has called you to this mission. There's almost 7 billion people on the world, on the earth today. Almost 7 billion. Or is it over 7 billion now? Could we pass 7 billion? Why am I asking you? You don't know.
Google it.
There's around 7 billion people. Do you know the majority of them are going to spend eternity in a place called hell? Really, Pastor Steve? Yes, really. Why do you say that? I say it because that's what Jesus said. Matthew chapter 7 verse 13. Come to God through the narrow gate. Because the wide gate and the broad way is the way that leads to destruction. And nearly everyone chooses that crowded road. Let me tell you, the road to hell is crowded. The narrow gate and the difficult way leads to eternal life. And so few even find it. Aren't you glad you found it? I said, aren't you glad you found it? Aren't you glad you found the narrow path? Jesus said in John 10 verse 9, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. He's the only gate, family. In John 14 verse 6,
Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Let me tell you, Jesus is the only way to heaven. He is the only way to God. He is the only mediator. He is the way. He is the truth. All others are a lie. If anyone tells you there's another way to get to God or get to heaven besides Jesus, it's a lie. He is the only way. You know why? Because Jesus is the only one who came from heaven to this earth as a perfect human God in human flesh, and he took our sin. He's the only one who did that. No other religious leader can take that place. They're all human like you and me. Jesus was the Son of God who died for our sin. That's why he's the only way. And everybody said,
amen.
The only way to heaven is through Jesus. And this is our mission. We must go and seek the lost and tell them this good news. You know, Jesus was our example. He was called the friend of sinners and a wine bibber because he went where the lost were. He hung around with lost people. We are called to do the same, to let our light shine. Yet how is it that so many believers seem oblivious to lost people around them? Seem oblivious to God's mission for their life? So many believers are caught up in the things of this world that are so temporary. Jesus left us here to reach lost people. You were told to tell another. You were found to find another. You were reached to reach another. It's time that we awaken and give ourselves fully to the purpose for which we have been called. Every believer is called to this purpose, family, and every single believer is needed. And the tragedy is that most Christians live and die without ever winning even one person to the Lord. May God forgive us. May God help us. If we are so caught up in our own lives that we allow lost people around us to go to hell, let me tell you, we're going to be held responsible. In Ezekiel chapter 3 verse 18, the scripture says, when I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man will die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Now someone said, Pastor Steve, that's in the Old Testament. That doesn't apply to me. Okay, let me give you a New Testament scripture. Acts chapter 18 verse 5. When Silas and Timothy had come to Macedonia, Paul was compelled by the Spirit, and he testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. But when they opposed him and blasphemed, he shook his garments and he said to them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles. In other words, when I share the gospel with someone and they reject it, I am now innocent. I'm not responsible. Are you with me? Every believer is an ambassador. Every one of us has been sent by Jesus to seek and save the lost. You're responsible for the lost people around you. You see, there are people that you know that I will never get to meet them. Well, if they could just hear Pastor Steve, God put them so they can hear you. We are the body of Christ on this earth. God has no voice except your voice. I challenge you today to commit yourself to being God's ambassador. Commit yourself to Jesus' mission of winning souls. And your mission begins the moment you walk out this door. You are on your mission. Don't let the enemy put you off. Because let me tell you, there will never be a better time than right now. We are living in a time of season of harvest right now. Everyone must take advantage of every opportunity to reach out to lost people that we come into contact with. Jesus said in John chapter 4 and verse 35, wake up. He said, wake up and look around. The fields are already ripe for harvest. In Joel 3 verse 13, it says, put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The Bible says there are people right now, they're in the valley of decision. They're ready to make a decision to accept the Lord. If somebody will just tell them and give them an opportunity. It's harvest time. People are in the place where they will make a decision if someone will tell them. In Proverbs 10 verse 5, it says, he who gathers in summer is a wise son, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a son who causes shame. I'm not going to sleep in the time of harvest. I'm going to tell them the good news. I'm going to commit myself to God's mission for my life. I'm going to make disciples. How about you? Amen. In Proverbs 11 verse 30, it says, he who wins souls is wise. He who wins souls is wise. Why is he wise? Because he's laying up treasure for eternity. Laying up treasure for... Jesus said, do not store up treasure on the earth where moth and rust corrupt and thieves break in and steal, but lay up treasure in heaven. Daniel chapter 12 verse 3 says, those who are wise will shine as bright as the sky, and those who lead many to righteousness will shine like the stars forever. Those who lead people to righteousness will shine like the stars in the sky. Are you with me? When you lead people toward Jesus, you are gathering eternal rewards. And I pray today that God would birth in every one of us a new passion to win people. You have been called, you have been chosen, you have been commissioned, you have been anointed, you have been empowered. You are well able to fulfill this great mission. Let's not sit on the sidelines. God needs every one of us to do our part, family. We've got to share this good news with everyone, everywhere. Our primary purpose on this earth is to get people saved and disciple them. In fact, the Apostle Paul said it like this in Acts 20, verse 24. Paul the Apostle, he said, my life is worth nothing to me unless, I use it for doing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about God's wonderful kindness and love. Notice, my life is worth nothing unless I use it for doing the work that God has assigned me to do, the work of telling everyone the good news about God's kindness and God's love. Can you say amen?
Amen.
We've all been assigned to the same work, family. It's God's highest calling for every believer. It's our mission in life. In Colossians 1:28, it says, everywhere we go, we tell everyone about Christ. Paul said, I work very hard at this. I work very hard at telling people about Christ, and I depend on Christ's mighty power within me to help me. Are you working hard at this? Can you say, I'm working hard, Pastor Steve, to win people to Christ? I'm working hard to bring people to church. That's why God gave you the power of the Holy Spirit. In fact, Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 verse 5, and he said to him, work at bringing others to Christ. Work at bringing others to Christ. Tell your neighbor, work at bringing others to Christ. They never heard you. Tell them again, work at bringing others to Christ. Do you know what Paul said? Paul said to the church in Rome. Paul wrote to the church in Rome. In Romans 1 verse 9, he said, God knows how often I pray for you. Day and night I bring you and your needs in prayer to God, whom I serve with all my heart, by telling others the good news about his son. Do you know that serving God means telling others the good news about Jesus? When you tell others the good news about Jesus, serving God. See, if we're following Jesus, we're going to be fishers of men. Jesus said, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. Isn't that what he told Peter? This world is not our home, family. You belong in another world. You're a citizen of heaven. You represent a king from the kingdom that sent you. And your role on this earth is very important. You have a message the world needs. Let's share it. Let's be ambassadors for Jesus.
Yeah.
Believe God can use you. Think of people you can connect with. Be bold to speak for God. That's what you're here for. You're God's ambassador on a mission. Be a soul winner. I'm going to share with you real quick six mighty motivations of a soul winner. Six things that motivate a soul winner. How many of you would agree the mightiest soul winner probably who ever lived was the Apostle Paul? Amen. The Apostle Paul was a great soul winner. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
It's a great mission.
Yeah.
What motivated the greatest missionary the world has ever known? What motivated Paul? I'm going to share with you six things that motivated him that should motivate us. Number one, Paul was motivated by the soul winner's compulsion. What is the soul winner's compulsion? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9. Paul said, "Wherefore we labor." This is the King James Version. "Wherefore we labor. We labor, whether present or absent, that we may be accepted by him." Now that doesn't mean we work to get into heaven. But what he's saying is, I want God to be pleased with me. In fact, that's the way the New King James puts it. The New King James says it like this: "Therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him." The King James says we labor to be accepted. Or we make it our aim to be pleasing to him. You see, if we are not endeavoring to bring people to Christ, we are not pleasing to God. That is not acceptable to God. In fact, in verse number 11, I'll come back to verse 10 in a moment, but verse 11, it says, "Because we understand our fearful responsibility, we work hard to persuade others." Because we understand this fearful responsibility we have, we work hard to persuade others. Listen, I don't care how much money you give, or how faithfully you attend, or how circumspectly you may live. If you are not endeavoring to bring people to Jesus, you are not acceptable to him. You are not pleasing to him. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching good today. Let me tell you, no matter who you may please, if you displease God, you're a failure. Doesn't matter who you please, if you displease God. And if you please God, it doesn't matter how many people you displease. And the way you please God is by bringing people to Jesus. Paul said, "You want me to tell you why I work so hard? Because I labor to be accepted by him, to be pleasing to him." He was compelled to be acceptable and pleasing to God. That's the number one reason that I labor to win souls, is because I want him to be pleased with me. Number two, the soul winner's compensation. The soul winner's compensation. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad." The day is coming when we will be compensated. It's called the judgment seat of Christ. It's not the same as the great white throne judgment seat. The great white throne judgment seat, that's where the unsaved people will be judged. But the judgment seat of Christ is where the believers will be judged. And the word judgment here is the Greek word bema, B-E-M-A, B-E-M-A. And it used to refer to a raised platform in the middle of the Olympic field where athletes would come and receive their reward, their reward. We're going to be rewarded for winning souls. What will our compensation be? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 9 verse 24, it says, "Isn't it obvious that all runners on the racetrack keep on running to win? But only one receives the victor's prize. Yet each one of you must run to be victorious." A true athlete will be disciplined in every respect, practicing constant self-control in order to win a laurel wreath that quickly withers. But we run our race to win a victor's crown that will last forever. Amen. See, people train for years. Their life. To get a crown that will one day fade away. For that reason, I don't just run for exercise or box like one throwing aimless punches, but I train like a champion athlete. I subdue my body. I get it under control so that after preaching the good news to others, I myself won't be disqualified. Let me tell you, if you want to get the victor's imperishable crown, you've got to train and discipline yourself, and you've got to run with all your might. Have you ever won a crown or an award or a trophy for school sports? Anyone here got a trophy for competing in school, some kind of sport? Raise your hand if you got a trophy. If you got any kind of trophy, raise your hand. Let me ask you, where's that trophy at now? Where is that trophy? My son moved out when he got married. I got all these trophies in his room. He didn't even take one with him. I said, "Don't you want your trophies?" Got all these trophies. Any of these trophies don't mean very much. Let me tell you, when you win souls to Jesus, you don't get a perishable crown that quickly withers. You receive a crown and reward that lasts for all eternity.
Amen.
What is this judgment seat of Christ? There's going to be a reward for some, and there's going to be a regret for others. In 1 Corinthians 3 verse 11, it says, for no one can lay any other foundation other than the one we already have, Jesus Christ. Anyone who builds on that foundation may use a variety of materials, gold, silver, jewels, that's one category, wood, hay, straw, that's another category. But on judgment day, the fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if a person's work has any value. If the work survives, the builder will receive a reward. If the work survives, the builder will receive a reward. But if the work is burned up, the builder will suffer great loss. The builder will be saved, but like someone barely escaping through a wall of flames. You know, like someone said, I just made it into heaven by the skin of my teeth. I don't know about you. I don't want to barely make it. I don't want to barely make it into heaven. I want to lay up treasure in heaven. I want to be pleasing to God. I want Him to reward me for all eternity. Paul's telling us why he labored. He says there's a compensation. There is a reward. There's a judgment seat where every believer will appear. One day you're going to see your own version of the TV show. This is your life. If you're a soul winner, your life will be gold, silver, precious stones. If you're not, your life will be wood, stubble, and hay. I want you to imagine yourself today standing before that judgment seat. Will you be rewarded? Are you working to fulfill the mission God has given for your life? Some people say, well, Pastor Steve, I don't believe in rewards. I don't believe in rewards. Well, God does. God believes in rewards. Jesus said in Revelation 22, verse 12, behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to their work. In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 8, it says, the one who plants and the one who waters work together with the same purpose, and both will be rewarded for their hard work. You know what that means? That means that maybe you go and you invite Barbara to church and you start telling about the Lord. You start telling about what God's done in your life and you invite her to church and she doesn't come. But then Janice goes and she invites Barbara and Barbara comes to church. You know what? Janice and I together are both going to be rewarded. Are you with me? Did you follow what I'm saying to you? Matthew 6 verse 20, Jesus said, lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. Don't think that everybody has the same rewards in heaven. You have to lay up treasure in heaven. The judgment seat is a time of reward, but it'll also be a time of regret for some. Because what you do for God on this earth will be rewarded throughout eternity. I don't know about you, but I don't want everything that I've lived for to go up in flames. And if I don't live to do God's will, it will. Churches are filled with people whose lives are wood, hay, and stubble. And one of these days, and sooner than you think, you're going to stand before the judgment seat and you're going to receive the things done in your body while you were here on this earth. And let me tell you, you can't win souls in heaven. All the soul winning you're ever going to do for all eternity, you must do now.
Amen.
Number three. The third motivation of a soul winner is the soul winner's conviction. 2 Corinthians 5:11 says, therefore knowing the terror of the Lord, because we know the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. You see, when you know what it means for a person who is unsaved to die and to go to hell, you do all you can to persuade them to follow Jesus. You know, you don't hear about hell in most churches today. When I preach about hell, some people look at me like I'm fell off the crazy truck. Because you don't hear about hell in most churches today. When Bill Weiss, my friend Bill Weiss, was researching to write his book, 23 Minutes in Hell, because the Lord took him and showed him hell, he went to research. Do you know, in all of California where he lives, he could only find one sermon in all the churches, one sermon on hell out of all the churches. Now, I'm not saying there is only one. I'm saying he could only find one. But there is a place of everlasting fire and torment that the Bible calls hell. And when you lead someone to Christ, they are no longer facing an eternity in hell. They no longer have to fear the terror of the Lord. They can be saved from that place. People have told me, well, I don't believe in hell, Pastor. Even Christians, I don't believe in hell. Listen, if there is no hell, then the Bible is untrue. Jesus is a deceiver. Because Jesus himself spoke about hell. Jesus said in Mark 9, verse 43, if your hand entices you to sin, let it go limp and useless, for it is better for you to enter into life maimed than to have your entire body thrown into hell, the place of unquenchable fire. This is where the maggots never die and the fire never goes out. Tell Jesus there's no hell. If there's no hell, why did Jesus come and die on the cross? If there's no hell, how can there be a heaven? Because the same Bible that tells us about hell tells us about heaven. You can't pick and choose what parts of the Bible you want to believe. Well, I believe there's a heaven, but I don't believe there's a hell. I believe in the love of God, but I don't believe in the judgment of God. You can't pick and choose. The terror of the Lord, this generation doesn't understand the terror of the Lord. The Bible says about people in these last days, in Romans 3:18, it says they have no fear of God at all. Someone said, well, Pastor Steve, don't you believe God is a God of love? Yes, He is a God of love. That's why He sent Jesus. He loved you so much. But listen, if you preach the love of God at the exclusion of the judgment of God, then you're only giving half the truth. And when half the truth becomes the whole truth, then it becomes an untruth. Number four, what motivated Paul? Soul winner's compulsion, the soul winner's compensation, the soul winner's conviction, and number four, the soul winner's compassion. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 13, if we are out of our minds in a blissful divine ecstasy, it is for God, but if we are in our right minds, it's for your benefit. For it is Christ's love that fuels our passion and motivates us, because we are absolutely convinced that He has given His life for all of us. That means all died with Him, so that those who live should no longer live self-absorbed lives, but lives that are poured out for Him, the one who died for us and now lives again. What is it that motivates us? It is Christ's love that motivates and fuels our passion. The love of God motivates us. Paul's compassion is driving him. How can we say we love Jesus, but we don't care about souls that He died for? Jesus said in John 21 to Peter, He said, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, Peter replied, you know I love you. Then feed my lambs, He said. Jesus repeated the question, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, Peter said, you know I love you. Take care of my sheep, Jesus said. A third time He asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt that Jesus asked him the third time. And he said, Lord, you know everything. You know I love you. Jesus said, do you love me? Then win souls. Do you love me? Then make disciples. Do you love me? Teach others what you've learned. What motivates me is my love for Jesus. That is the chief motivation of my life. The chief motivation why I do what I do is because I love God. Number five, the soul winner's confidence. What motivated Paul? The soul winner's confidence. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 16, we don't evaluate people by what they have or how they look. We looked at the Messiah that way once and we got it all wrong. As you know, we certainly don't look at Him that way anymore. Now we look inside and we see that anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start, is created new, the old life is gone, a new life burgeons. Now, here's Paul's confidence. If I lead a person to Christ, they will be created new. They will be saved. They will be a new creation. They will be a child of God. God will accept. Anyone who calls on the Lord will be saved. Paul said we don't look at how people look. We don't look at what people have. We don't care whether people are big shots, little shots, rich or poor, educated, uneducated, weak or strong, famous or non-famous. Listen, we see them as a soul that Jesus died for, and we realize that all people, every person is important to Jesus. We reach out to everybody that we can. We are confident that God will make them new. We are confident that we have the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to see every person as your potential brother. Every man as your potential brother, every woman as your potential sister. We family, let me tell you, when you go fishing for fish, you know, normal fish, you are taking a fish out of a beautiful life into death. But when we fish for people, we are taking people out of death into a beautiful life.
That's right.
Now, number six, and I'm almost done. Number six, the soul winner's commission. What motivated Paul? the soul winner's commission. Jesus told us, go into all the world and make disciples, be my ambassador, share the good news. You've been given this ministry of reconciliation. You've been reconciled to God through Christ, and now our mission and our ministry is to reconcile others to God. Paul was motivated by the Great Commission. And we should be too, family. God has called us. God has commissioned us. God has empowered you to be a soul winner. You don't have to know everything about the Bible to be a soul winner. You simply tell what Jesus has done in your life. Let me tell you, the best soul winners that I usually find are brand new Christians. Do you know that it's the brand new Christians who bring people to church more than the people who have been here for 10 years? In Luke chapter 8, Jesus got in a boat with his disciples and he crossed Lake Gennesaret. And then the storm arose and he came to calm the storm. Jesus went through all of that to minister to one person, to one man. This man was possessed with a legion of demons. This man was homeless. The Bible says he didn't wear any clothes. He ran around with no clothes on. He was full of demons. When anyone's running around with no clothes on, you know there's a devil chasing them. The Bible says he was often restrained by chains, but he would break the chains because of the demons that were tormenting him. So Jesus cast the demons out of this man into a herd of swine. The man was set free, and the next thing he's sitting in his right mind, clothed, sitting at Jesus' feet. The man wanted to go with Jesus, said, I want to go with you. But listen what Jesus told him. In Luke 8, verse 39, he said, no, go back to your family and tell them everything God has done for you. So he went all through the town proclaiming the great things Jesus had done for him. All you've got to do to win souls is tell people what God has done in your life. What are you going to do? You can win souls just by telling what God has done for you. Let me ask you, if I offered you $1,000 for every soul you led to Christ, would that change your motivation? Because I've seen people, I've been involved in network marketing and a few different companies. And I'm telling you right now, I am amazed. I see people who are Christians. I can barely get them to come to church. But they get involved in network marketing and they're in two meetings a week. That's all they're talking about. They're telling all their friends about it. They're in meetings. They're in training. They're investing. They're buying money because they want to make money. Imagine if you had that same enthusiasm for the Lord. Imagine if you had that same enthusiasm for the things of God. If I said, I'll give you $1,000 for every person you bring to church, I guarantee you we wouldn't fit them all in this building next Sunday. We wouldn't fit them all in. I'm going to give you $1,000 to bring someone to church next week. Will you bring someone? You bet your body. Every single one of you would bring someone to church next week. But I promise you right now, and I mean it sincerely, the rewards that Jesus has, $1,000 doesn't even can't even do it. Well, God's going to reward you. It's a matter of motivation. These are six mighty motivations. The soul winner's compulsion. The soul winner's compensation. The soul winner's conviction. The soul winner's compassion. The soul winner's confidence. The soul winner's commission. We have a mission. God wants everyone to be saved. Amen. I'm going to close with this. 2 Timothy 2 verse 4. He wants not only us, but everyone saved. You know, everyone to get to know the truth that we've learned. That there's one God and only one mediator between God and us, Jesus, who offered himself in exchange for everyone held captive by sin to set them all free. Eventually, the news is going to get out. This and this only has been my appointed work. Getting this good news to those who've never heard of God and explaining how it works by simple faith and plain truth. Let me tell you, it's good to know how to share the gospel. I'm going to give you, in 2 minutes. How are we doing? Oh, we're still doing good. I still got a lot of time. I'm just teasing you. I'm going to give you 2 minutes. The gospel. This is the gospel in 2 minutes. Okay? 5 points. Number one, we are all sinners. Romans 3 verse 23, everyone has sinned and falls short of the glory of God's glorious standard. If you want to know how to share the gospel, write this down. Number one, we're all sinners. Romans 3:23. Number two, we cannot save ourselves. Titus 3 verse 5 says, he came to save us, not because of any virtuous deed we've done, but only because of his extravagant mercy. Number three, God is holy. God is holy and must punish sin. Exodus 34 verse 7, he does not leave the guilty unpunished. Romans 6 23, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Number four, God loves us so much that he sent his son Jesus to pay the price for our sin. Romans 3 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And then number five, salvation is a free gift that you receive through faith in Jesus. Ephesians 2 verse 8, for by grace you've been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Romans 10 verse 9, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And Galatians 3 verse 26, you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Right there, that's the gospel in 2 minutes. When you came in today, on your seat, if it's not on your seat, you might have put it underneath your seat, but there's four cards I want you to hold in your hand right now. I've given you the gospel soul-winning script. That you could, I know people that have led people to the Lord just by reading this off of the card. But you do it enough, you'll memorize it. But there is a gospel on a card for you to hold in your Bible. I've also given you a card, 20 people to pray for, people who are not saved, they don't know the Lord. You should have people you're praying for their salvation. But let me tell you something, listen to me. You don't have to know the gospel outline in order to be a witness for Jesus. You can simply tell what God has done in your life.
Amen.
Or you simply invite them to church. To the Christmas service. See this? Here's our regular invite card and our Christmas service. I can share the gospel. I should know how to do that. I can tell them what God's done in my life. Or I can invite them to church. And I promise you, if you bring them to church, you know they're going to get an opportunity to accept the Lord.
That's right. Amen.
Janice, where's Tony Carrata at? Tony?
Yes.
Come here quick, Tony. Run down here. Looking good, Tony.
Yeah.
You're looking good. Janice, come stand here. Tony was Janice's trainer, personal trainer. And Janice invited Tony to come to our church. How many times?
It's 14.
How many times?
14.
How many times?
14.
14 times. At least. She invited you 14 times. Why did it take you so long to get here? But thank God she didn't give up. So that was years ago. Tony is one of our faithful members here. I know. Now, where's Nick Indiana? Stand up for me. You can't miss little Nick over there. Tony invited Nick Indiana. How many times did Tony invite you? 12 or 15 times? 2 months. There's another faithful family in our church.
Amen.
Giselle? Which Giselle? Oh, Giselle!
Yeah.
You invited Giselle?
Right.
Tony. Well, we both did, but yeah. Tony, she followed.
But here's my point. You invited Tony. He didn't respond the first time, the second time, the third time, the fourth time, the fifth time, the sixth time, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 times. So look at you now. Okay, I can't imagine our church without you in it. So I'm telling you, there are thousands of people home
yeah.
that are waiting for you. You know, Wednesday night at our Connect group, thank you for inviting me this time. Now, and now, on Wednesday night at our Connect group, I asked the group, who have you invited to Christmas service? They looked at me like I just fell from the moon. I'm asking you, church, all of us, please, invite someone to Christmas service. Let's see people get saved.
Yes.
I don't know about you, man. I want to be a church that plunders hell and populates it.
Yes.
I want to be a church we smell like smoke because we're pulling people out the fires of hell.
Yes.
I want to be a church giving hell a run for its money.
Yes.
Amen. I pray your heart is stirred today to the mission God has given you. To speak for Him. To lead people to Jesus. How many of you today will commit, Pastor Steve, I'm going to commit to the mission.
Yes.
Wait, hold your hand. I'm going to commit to being a soul winner.
Yeah.
You see, to be a soul winner, you don't have to be, some people got this idea you're going to be some kind of weirdo. You're going to be out there on the corner with a big sign. The end is near. The end is near. You got to hell. No, 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 no. You don't have to be a, that's how you do it. No. You don't have to be. You don't have to be weird. Just every day, man. If you found something that changed your life, I promise you, you can't help yourself. You tell someone about it. Jesus, is there anything greater in my life than Jesus? Tell people. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Hold that card in your hand. Say this. Say, Father. Everyone, say this. Say, Father. I thank you. That you've chosen me to be your ambassador. Thank you for saving me and calling me to this ministry of reconciling people to you. Thank you, Lord, for helping me to speak for you. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I am going to invite someone. I'm going to bring someone to the Christmas services. I want to stand before you at that judgment seat and hear you say, well done, well done, well done, my good and faithful servant. Amen. I want you to bow your heads for a moment if you would. I want to pray for you while every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Thank you, David. Before we close the service today, we're not finished yet, but this is so important. What's about to happen right now, go ahead, David. And that is, I want to pray right now for anyone who's here this morning. You say, Pastor Steve, I'm not sure where I stand with God today. I'm not sure if all is right, if all is well between me and the Lord. Friend, if you were to die today, can you say that you are absolutely certain that you would go to heaven? You have no doubt about it. Or would you have to be honest and say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such a church. Listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. I'm not asking you if you believe in God. I'm asking you if you died today, are you sure that you would go to heaven? Because let me tell you, the good news is you can be sure. You can know for certain that when you die, heaven is where you will spend all of eternity. You can know that all is well, all is right. You have peace with God. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. But if you want to be included in this prayer, if you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I want to make sure that all is right with me and God. Pray for me. If that's you, quickly, won't you just lift your hand up now? Just raise your hand up now. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is up, then you're included in this prayer. Thank you. All right, I don't see any hands up now. But I trust and believe that at that Christmas services, we're going to see a lot of people put their hands up. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Did you get something out of this morning? Do you feel a bit motivated today? Amen. Listen, we're not quite finished. My wife's going to come forward. We have a couple of quick announcements, and we're going to worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings today. We're going to honor and give to the house of God. December is our month of heart for the house, and as you know, over December we are asking, you're receiving our annual Christmas offering. We're asking people to go above and beyond and help us towards our new building. Just to let you know that on Monday night, tomorrow night, we have our zoning public hearing tomorrow night. It was supposed to be Tuesday. They changed it to Monday, which is good because our dinner's on Tuesday. So Monday, we have our public hearing, and I'm inviting you please to come and support us. It's at 7 p.m. It's on Military Trail in Indian Town. It's the Chamber the Chamber of Commerce, I think they call it, but right on the corner there of Military Trail, there's a police station, and right next to it, that building says Chamber of Commerce. That's where the meeting will be held at 7 p.m. tomorrow night. And we're trying to get, you know, if we can get a good crowd of people from our church, it's good for us for them to see the support that we have. So it would really help us to get the zoning for the building if you could be there. And I don't think it'll be long. We're number 2 on the schedule. You should be out of there in 30 minutes. So if you can join us, you've got to be at 7 o'clock. I'll be there tomorrow night. I'll be there tomorrow night. 210 Military Trail, the corner of Military Trail and Indian Town Road. But the entrance is from Military Trail. Okay, that's tomorrow. So all our annual Christmas offering this year is going toward building out our new building. We're trusting God to be in there for Easter, the first Sunday of April. So all that's being given in the Christmas offering is going toward our new building. We'll be closing on our building on January 1st. Thank God we have the funds to be able to close. But we are trusting God. We still need about $100,000 to do all the build out of our building. Amen? So thank you for your giving. Thank you, Jill.
Let me just mention that on your seats there, you have 2 envelopes. One is the black and one has got the red printing. The red is for the Christmas offering and the black is for the regular. But I've read a scripture thinking about Christmas. I was reading their Christmas account in Luke 2. It says this, it says, and when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, talking about Jesus, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice according to what it is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. So we see Mary and Joseph, they come to Jesus' circumcision and they bring their gift. Now as Pastor Steve said, we're doing our heart for the house, which we're asking everybody just to consider giving over and above your regular tithes, over and above your best offering at this end of the year as an act of generosity to expand the kingdom of God. But in this story, we see a principle, and it is contribution and capacity. You know, because that talks about what you are giving and what you've been given, contribution and capacity. So Mary and Joseph gave a very small gift at Jesus' circumcision, and that might be like roughly equivalent of our baby dedication, right? And they brought these 2 turtle doves. Now actually the law said that they should bring a lamb and a turtle dove. But then the law also, there was provision made in the law that if they couldn't afford a lamb, that they could just bring 2 turtle doves. Because, you know, the point that God wants to make is that everybody participate. He didn't want, because they couldn't afford a lamb, that they couldn't participate. There was a provision made for that. The main thing is participation, right? Yeah. That's why tithing is so even across the board. 10%, it's the same for all of us. No matter what we earn, it's even, right? So that we all participate. In Leviticus it says, if she's not able to bring a lamb, then she may bring 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. So we know from this something about Mary and Joseph is that they didn't have a lot, right? Yeah. But they are participating at the level that they are at. They are participating. And, you know, God never holds us accountable for what somebody else has. He only holds us accountable for what we have. Yeah. But He does hold us accountable for for what we have,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He does actually measure our contribution according to our capacity. So, you know, what might seem like a large gift to someone else might actually seem small in God's eyes because it's contribution versus capacity.
Yeah.
You hear what I'm saying? Let me just give you a quick example now. I should be blowing these up, but I don't want to do that in front of you. Two different balloons here. Which balloon is bigger? The green one's bigger, right? And it's actually a bigger balloon. And, you know, someone might look at it and they might say, wow, somebody gave such a big gift. You know, there's actually a story in the Bible where Jesus watched the way people gave. Because you know what? He actually does watch the way people give, right? And the disciples got so impressed and they were like, wow, look at that. Look at that big gift. Look how much money those people are putting in. But Jesus took note of this one. And he was like, she gave everything she had. Because it was contribution versus capacity, right? And, you know, someone who's giving this size gift might say, well, what could that do? What could this one do? Because I know how much is needed. So what does my offering even count towards that? What does that even do? But you know, they might think, I'll leave it to somebody else. But when we leave it to somebody else, sometimes nothing gets done, right? Now, these balloons, I could take this one and I could blow it. And I'd have to be very careful because if I blew it too hard, it would burst. But this one I could blow for a long time because it's got a bigger capacity. And God doesn't measure our giving by the size of what we give. He measures it by the stretch that it takes, right? Measuring it by the stretch. And we should all have the attitude that David had. David, King David in the Bible, he said, I will not give to the Lord that which costs me nothing. So, you know, everything that the Lord's given us, and I know we hear it, we feel it, we worship God, and we're so thankful He's given us life, He's given us salvation. Every one of us has got a different testimony. You might say, He restored my marriage, He healed my body, He hears my prayers, He answered me, He fought my battles. We've all got testimonies of what God has done. And so when we give, we should feel it. It should not cost us nothing, right? Sacrifice is something you feel. And it doesn't mean just because I can't give a big gift doesn't mean I can't make a big difference. And the thing is, if we all think that our gift is too small, then no one will give and nothing will get done. But if each one of us just does what God puts in our heart, that we contribute according to our capacity, that we allow God to stretch us, then great things can be done. Amen?
That's right.
Today I just want to encourage you because it was a sacrifice for Mary and Joseph. If they didn't have much, you know, I don't know how much a lamb cost. They couldn't afford that. I've never bought a lamb. But they could afford turtle dust, but they did what they could because they wanted to honor God for what He'd done. They might have had to remind themselves, remember what Gabriel said, remember what God's done, remember we've got to trust God. And there's more to the story, and I'll tell you it next week, but God always comes through when you give. He always comes through when you give. You may not know how He's going to supply, but I'm telling you, He'll never fail. As Pastor Steve said, He is a God who rewards. Whatever we do, He makes sure that we don't outgive Him. Amen. And so today, as you are preparing yourself to give, you're bringing your tithes, we appreciate we're faithful, those faithful givers in our church. But those of you who are preparing or thinking about the Heart for the House offering, I ask you to just allow God to stretch you, your contribution according to your capacity. Amen. And let's just pray right now.
Well, I'd like to pray over them. I'd like you to hold your offering and envelope in your hand. And we're going to pray over them right now. I'm going to trust God. The Bible says when we bring the tithe, the Lord's tithe into the storehouse, that He opens, He promised that He'll open the windows of heaven and He would pour blessing on us. So we're trusting God for blessings to come chasing after you. Amen. Amen. Hold it in your hand right now. Father, we thank You for every giver, every tither in this church. We thank you, Lord, for their faithfulness. We thank you for stirring our hearts to give. We thank you, Lord, for the we have a heart for your house. We have a passion for your house. Lord, I thank you that you promised. In fact, you challenged us. You said, prove me now, test me now, see if I won't open for you the windows of heaven. Lord, I thank you for opening the windows of heaven above your people. I thank you for pouring blessing, increase, favor, promotion in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for supernaturally multiplying that which we give so that we, Father, can receive a bigger harvest so that we can sow bigger seed. So we can get a bigger harvest so that we can give more and sow a bigger seed. Thank you for blessing your people. Lord, thank you for providing this new building for us. Thank you, Lord, for doing that miracle. Thank you for making a way where it didn't look like there was a way. And thank you, Lord, for providing everything we need for that new building. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Can you say amen, everybody?
Amen.
Wonderful. Is everybody ready to give this morning? Remember that you can give online at cfcjupiter.org. If you're watching this on Facebook or you're watching this on our website, you can give online at cfcjupiter.org. You can give by text giving, by texting 855-956-1555. And of course by check card and cash. Ushers, please go ahead. Receive the offering. I want to mention to you that Tuesday night is our Christmas dinner. If you haven't got your ticket, we hope you'll join us at our dinner. It's at the Brio Restaurant at Gardens Mall. Tickets are $38. It's this Tuesday at 8 p.m. It's the last chance to get tickets. If you go to the book table in the lobby as you leave, my daughter Nadine is there ready. You can get your ticket from her. We would love for you to be there. We're going to have a great time of fun and fellowship, a great meal, and we really would love for you to be there. So I hope you'll be able to join us on Tuesday night. Praise God. Are you glad you came to church today?
Yes.
Say, I am an ambassador, and I am on a mission. I'm on a mission from God. Say, I am reaching out and bringing as many people as I can with me to heaven, with me to church. I'm not going to heaven alone. I'm not going to church alone. Taking people with me. Amen. In Jesus' name. God bless you. We love you. Thank you for being here. We will see you at the dinner. We'll see you Monday at the zoning meeting. We'll see you next Sunday at church. There's a photo up in the lobby. If you want to take a Christmas picture with your children, please go right ahead.